Hey everybody, welcome to my world right here on the Trim Radio Network. And boy, I'll tell you what, we had some stuff happen just before the show, and we've been redoing a few things and getting things set up. It's called last minute adjustments. Well, anyhow, welcome to this edition of My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever right here on the Trim Radio Network. And we have a couple of guests tonight. And before we get going, we have to do a few things before I bring in the guests. And we have to do a disclaimer. So nothing in the show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Take what we say with a big grain of salt and always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast. Any persons or characters mentioned are, for the most part, fictional or as close to it as we can get. So sit back, relax, and chill out. I hope you brought your beverage, your favorite snacks. Are you sitting back in your easy chair? Because we're going to have a good time. It's just like sitting around a coffee table and we're just having fun tonight. Okay, we're talking about a lot of different things. So remember to tell your friends about the show, and we're on live every Wednesday. And with that, guess what? We have to do some stuff about the Trim Radio Network or the bosses will get upset. And we don't want that to happen. So if I hit the right button, let's see what can happen here. Nothing. What's going on here? Try it again one more time. There we go. We're getting there. Almost. Let's see if this works. No! What is going on here? This is not fun tonight. We were going to have a good time, too. I can't believe this. I get a blank screen. My goodness. Okay, who jinxed this? All right, let's see if I can do this. One more time, guys. I'm sorry about this, but we had some problems just before the show, and Victoria was working on it, and I was trying to get things set up. So let's see if I can do this again. One more time. There we go. Like I said, we got to talk about the Trim Radio Network, better known as trimradio.com. Here's the Fab Four. We have Michael Bejas as the CEO. Rascala Stefan is the Chief Operating Officer. We have myself as the Chief Relationship Officer, and I still haven't figured that one out. And we have Victoria Smith, the Chief Marketing Officer, responsible for all the marketing activities and brand development and all that good stuff. And I'll tell you what, she was really great for hopping on and getting a few of the bugs worked out tonight. Normally, we don't have them, but occasionally we do. And so anytime we have an update, we have to make adjustments. Anyhow, if you want to contact the Trim Radio Network, all you have to do is click on the red button over here. When you do, this comes up and it says, we're here to help you getting your podcast on our network. And put in your name, your phone number. I want to know about more about putting on my own show. Here's my email address. Here's my topic I want to do. Tell me how I can get this accomplished. Okay, then click on send message and somebody will be right with you. It's very easy to do. I mean, if I can hit the buttons, you can hit the buttons, okay? Very easy to do. So anyhow, that's the Fab Four. Now we go on to our shows. And I'll tell you what, see that red button's always there so you can always contact us. We have Money and Change every Sunday night at 7 p.m. We have Life Walk with Christ God, and that's Wednesdays at 7 p.m. My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever is Wednesdays at 8 p.m. And then we have the Natural Marketer Podcast with Victoria Smith on Thursdays. We have Offside College Football Top 25 with Michael Bejas, 7 p.m. on Thursdays. We have the Positude Podcast on Fridays. Then on Saturday, we have the Bend Radio Show Podcast, and that's Saturday at 1 p.m. and Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck at 1:30. And then on Saturday night from 9 to 12, we have the Red Pill Reality Show. So you want to check that one because Ruscelli has a lot of guests he brings on. I've been on the show a few times. We have a lot of fun. Also, we have Revelation with Peter Kling. And guess what? We have our new one, which is Let's Talk About It with Dora. And so that will be coming on. I believe it will be next week, I believe. And, you know, if you want to do your own show, hey, just contact us. Just hit that red button over there, like I explained before, and let us know, okay? If you want to contact us, you can say, hey, I want to contact Stu. How can I do that? And send me a message. Also, how do you support us? All you have to do is donate for the show to keep us on the air because the airtime is expensive. And what we do is donate our time, efforts, and skills to do the shows because we want to help people. But the airtime is expensive. So none of us get paid, but we do have to pay for airtime. And so that can be a tough one. But anyhow, what you can do is also buy the merchandise, or like Michael Beha says, buy the merch. And we've got t-shirts, we've got hats, we've got mugs, we've got money and change t-shirts, we've got mugs, more mugs, travel mugs, we've got shirts, and we've got other things on other pages too. And if you click the button, these four boxes come up. We've got kids' shirts, we've got other mugs. We had morphing mugs at one point. We've got a round mouse pad. Gee whiz, you can't corner the mouse on a round mouse pad, can you? Anyhow, then we also have the Trim Creators Dad's Hat. We have the embroidered beanies. And if you have AirPods, we have a rubber case for the AirPods. Okay? And you provide the AirPods and buy our case and you're good to go. Okay? And that's all you need to do. What else is going on? Oh, yeah, Facebook. And I clicked on the button and it took me out of my Facebook page. What the heck is going on here? If you check our Facebook page, it's Trim Radio Network, My World, Live, Laugh, and Whatever. What we do here is we have our show there. That's my AI mug. And it's kind of interesting how we learned to do that. It kind of scared me too. But tonight, you know, we have two guests on, and I purposely put that up there so we know that we had two guests on tonight. And we have Quentin Coker Kidd and Jessica Sharp will be our guests tonight. And we've got some interesting things to talk about. We really do. So you want to check into that. Also, you can go ahead and check our past shows. And all you have to do is take a look at YouTube and Rumble. YouTube and Rumble. Right after this show is over with, the YouTube show will pop up on the YouTube section for trimradio.com. And then tomorrow morning, Rumble will load. I'm tongue-tied tonight. See what happens when you have to make slight changes before and after? Okay. How about this one? We've got a funny thing before we get going here because it's 10 after and Emma came up with a good one. And I think she knows how to say, hey, I think we like the show. Let's see what she has to say.
10-4.
Yeah, huh?
Well, does a dog wag its tail?
You dang right.
Well, I reckon.
Well, does a cat got whiskers?
Well, I suppose so.
You bet your boots.
Ain't no doubt.
Sure as the day is long.
You're dang skippy. That's a big old affirmative.
Darn tootin'.
Yes and amen.
10-4.
Yeah, huh?
Well, does a dog wag its tail?
You dang right.
Well, I reckon.
Well, does a cat got whiskers?
Well, I suppose so.
You bet your boots.
Ain't no doubt.
Sure as the day is long.
You're dang skippy. That's a big old affirmative.
Yep, that's a big old affirmative right there. Whoa, that's Emma. I love that gal. And she has a lot of different fun things on there. And I just, oh no, I think I didn't. Almost erase, no, I didn't. Tonight's got me all discombobulated, I'll tell you that right now. Let's see if we can get some people into the show. We've got Quentin. I'm going to add him to the stage.
Hello there, Stu. It's good to see you again. Could you hear me?
Hello.
I see Jeff.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. My wife said she wasn't going to sit here and watch me talk and took the dogs and went to bed.
My husband, too. He's out doing something.
And where did Stu go?
Yeah, I was kind of wondering that. Okay, here we go.
Too many buttons tonight. Too many changes.
And you know, once you get a little bit discombobulated, it's difficult to get back on track.
I'll tell you what, today's been one of those crazy days. And when we had to make some changes and things didn't pop up, I had to get a hold of Victoria, and I was in total panic because I didn't have control of that part. And it's like, oh, brother, you know, it's one of those things. And, you know, Jessica, you just have to go with the flow here. You know, we don't really get too formal, but we put the information out there. What we've been talking about, I guess about the last 4 weeks, have been the data centers and everything going on. Mm-hmm. And then Quentin had said, hey, you got to talk to Jessica. And because you're doing something a little bit different, but yet it's related to data center. And we thought we'd get you on. And what do you do with Wilmington with what you're doing?
So I'm one of the organizers in the community opposition group here called Wilmington Residents for Responsible Development. Let's see, it's been all consuming for about 3 months now of my life that I have been just organizing and mobilizing residents, providing education, getting the word out about different meetings, networking with council, other communities, things of that nature.
It keeps you busy, doesn't it?
That and a toddler, yeah.
I want to put a plug in for Jess on this. You know, 3 months ago, she didn't have an organization. And here we are 3 months later. There's over 4,000 members in her Facebook group.
Oh.
And she organizes town halls, is working with other groups around Ohio. And I'm going to let Jess talk about that.
Yeah, I guess Q has a point. There's a lot to it. It's hard to know where to begin. Basically, what I've been trying to do is just identify gaps in knowledge. And when I don't have the answers, seek them out. So far, that's been a pretty successful approach. Now, whether our city council has been swayed, I can't speak to that necessarily at this point. But I've been speaking with people pretty much around the country since November, trying to get as much information as we need to make responsible government decisions, you know, on this issue, and putting that out to folks in whatever format works.
Well, I'll tell you what, PICWA didn't exactly get that done. You guys are on the right track. You're seeking all the information, and the people here in PICWA, and I believe up in Sydney too, we're supposed to get data centers, and the land's been taken care of and so forth. And we've talked about that on past shows, but people are saying, well, gee whiz, we're not getting enough information out of the city commission. And that's been the same thing, I guess, up in Sydney, too. So anyhow, with all that being said, you know, you've got a very good methodology on how you're doing what you're doing. Okay. It's amazing. And some of the stuff that I joined a couple of groups in Wilmington, and the data that I'm getting from that and the things that Quentin has been doing, I've been posting on my page and giving a reference to Quentin, because the data and the information were never there that I know of for Sydney. And now people are starting to look at it and saying, oh, hey, wait a minute, this guy's got a point. And that just shows that you're on the right track. And the information that you've got, the people that you've got involved, it's really great that you're doing that. I got to commend you on it, because you're doing a good job.
I appreciate it. I got a lot at stake here.
Well,
it's really unfortunate for Sydney and PICWA. I feel like you guys are just a month or two ahead of us, but that was before, I feel like, really nationally news broke about all these sites at the same stage, really just in the last month or two. And it seems like you guys were just ahead of that wave.
Well, yeah, but I'll tell you what, I was reading some things about Missouri, and there was a town in Missouri that was going to change their planning commission rules and regs. Okay. And wow, they're doing it there. They're doing it other places. And I'm thinking, wow, the ball is rolling because some people are saying, wait a minute, we got to step back and look at this stuff. Mm-hmm. We have to check our rules and regulations to see if our city charters or the way that you have statutory cities. And here in Ohio, you have two types of cities. Mm-hmm. You have either a charter or you have a statutory, which means you run by basically the Ohio Revised Code plus. Okay. And with charters, we have a little bit more flexibility. We have to operate by the Ohio Revised Code, but we can adapt things. We can make some slight changes for charter cities. So that being said, you know, a lot of people are taking a look at this now because of the power requirements, of the water requirements and everything else. And what you guys have been doing in Wilmington has been fantastic.
I think part of the advantage we may have, and it's, you know, it's sort of a two-edged sword, has been the lack of openness from the Port Authority and the city, which meant they left an information vacuum, which meant we got to fill it with what is actually going on because, you know, they're basically trying to spoon feed a bunch of pablum to citizens and not tell them everything that's going on.
When you're saying pablum, you're being kind. I was you said
I couldn't use those words, Stu.
Well, you can say BS, you know. I mean, Bravo Sierra, that works too. Pablum, I've never heard of city commissions having pablum.
You know, maybe it's a southern thing.
Well, we'll have to get Emma involved, okay? See if she can come up with a southern saying on how we feed commissions. Now, Jessica, how many, you've got, I think, what is it, 4,000 people?
Yeah, something like that, 4,100, I think.
And then how many people do you think you reach out beyond this group that you've got? Because it's still not on the internet.
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, I'm in correspondence with, I've got a group of tri-state community leaders that I organize with as well, including the leaders in Sydney and Piqua. Includes Kentucky and Indiana as well, and probably half a dozen communities in Ohio. So I know that, you know, the word is getting out and what we're doing is reaching other communities in areas similar to ours. I also talked to a contact in Missouri. It might be the same town you're talking about. but it's, we just kind of find each other. So I would imagine that those are some of the people that are taking in some of the content on the page as well.
Yeah, because what we're finding out here is that the commission isn't telling everybody everything. And you've got NDAs and everything else, non-disclosure agreements and so forth. And the people are feeling that they've been left out in the dark. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so there's been a lot of pablum that's been passed around. Now, how do you organize your group? How did you actually put all this together to formulate what you're doing? Because other groups might want to say, how did Jessica start her group?
Well, I reached out. So let's see. I found out about this mess on November the 18th. The next day, I reached out to Molly Boatman. That's just another person that I know in Wilmington who runs, she admins another page. And I said, hey, I'm a social worker, but I don't have any kind of online reach. Can you help me put together a Facebook page so we can reach, you know, residents in our community and talk about this issue? So she actually made the page. She's since stepped back. She's got other stuff going on. And so I'm, I guess, the admin at this point, along with a couple other people on our page. But it was really, I mean, really the definition of grassroots organizing. People started posting on the page that had concerns. I took the people I saw posting the most and threw them in a group chat. We went from there. We divided into subcommittees from there based on the needs that we saw at the time and folks' interests and areas of expertise. We've got subcommittees for things like legal research, and I'm going to put that in quotations because we're not lawyers. A ballot referendum, we're going to kick that off here in the next couple days, depending on the outcome of our council meeting tomorrow. media, community outreach, environmental concerns. That's just a handful of examples of things that people are working on behind the scenes, but it's really just been a grassroots effort. I mean, talking to neighbors, I frequent a gym here in Clinton County. I'm there all the time. I've been talking to people on the gym floor, putting up flyers, hanging door knockers, you know, stuff like that. Just, you'd be surprised how many people, even in this neighborhood directly adjacent to the data center, have absolutely no idea what's going on. So every time I can fit it in, I just kind of shamelessly plug for it in conversation.
They are doing old-fashioned precinct walking, which I don't think there are any other candidates in Wilmington who are actually doing that or have done that. Pulling together a group of over 4,000 in 3 months is absolutely amazing. The group I have has been up for a little bit more than 2 years, or right about 2 years. And when the data center stuff happened, I was at around 3,000 members, and I'm up around 4,700, 4,800 members now. I have roughly 18,000 views a day of my posts, and over last 90 days, I had about 1.7 million views of posts that I have written.
Wow.
200 and some thousand different viewers, and they're all over the country. The Facebook algorithm is really, if you're a credible, the Facebook algorithm is boosting this topic.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll tell you what, you're going out all over the world because we're on the World Wide Web. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, for my Money and Change show, I've got people, believe it or not, in Myanmar, which used to be Burma, mm-hmm. India, South Africa, Kenya, North America. Hopefully people in South America speak English, because I don't speak Spanish. And, you know, we're just all over the world with the World Wide Web. And that's why the Trim Radio Network went that way. Mm-hmm. We were originally WTRM FM in Columbia, South Carolina. And now we're out all over the world. So, Jessica, mm-hmm. you just went out all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll be repeated on YouTube.
So I'm going to take that opportunity to plug for our website. It's wilmingtondatacenter.org. See, I told you, every time I get the chance, shameless plug for the group.
Well, do it again.
Yeah, so the website is wilmingtondatacenter.org. And then our Facebook is Wilmington Residents for Responsible Development.
Bingo. Now it's gone out all over the world, and hopefully you'll get another 15 or 20,000 people getting into your group. How's that? Or more. You never know.
And as an older senior adult who, you know, have been told we don't need the opinions of you guys that are over 60, I'm excited to see young leaders like Jess stepping up and becoming active in the community. It is something every community needs. And there's a group of people who belong to her group that I'm excited to see that are participating in the future of what will be Wilmington. When I have been involved in community building, I have talked about, we aren't building this for ourselves. We're building it for our children. Well, in my case, it'll be my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. And that's what has to happen. And, you know, sometimes you get in some city commissions, well, the members will be elected and they'll sit up there, and they might meet before an executive session, then come out and do whatever they want to do. And then they say, okay, you've got 3 minutes to talk. And then the line of people are there, and the hours get late. And then they say, well, it's time to go, you know, that type of thing. Or you have other people on the commission that want to take the pay for being on the commission, which I believe in Pickwa's case is $5,000 a year, I think is what you get. And if you're mayor, you get a little bit more. And the mayor is also a commissioner. But you have that going on, and it's like, okay, we'll start at 6 o'clock, but we want to get out of here by 9 o'clock. And maybe they delay discussing things. hoping that people will leave or they'll get fed up and leave. And sometimes you only have maybe, well, I'll say 5-6 people at the commission meetings. And other times when the topic is hot, you might get 40 or 50. Mm-hmm. And that's just what we run into. And, you know, in Wilmington, it seems like you guys are a little bit more on the ball and doing what needs to be done the right way. Mm-hmm. And it's due to your organization with the Wilmington Residents for Responsible Development. See, I gave that plug too.
Yeah, so I think that's something to highlight. We're being told by our city council that we're just a vocal minority, but I think when you look at, you know, not only our membership on the page, of which about half is people local here to Clinton County, so that's roughly 2,000 folks, but also the sustained turnout we've had at these meetings, you know, these are inconvenient right before bed, during work hours is when the planning commission meets.
Yeah.
You know, kids' bedtimes, and people are still making it a priority to turn out, you know, and for my generation, this is a generation that is so beaten down with just like making the bills and surviving day to day that I really think that's why we haven't had more civic engagement and why you're majority seeing, you know, older folks are the ones who are continuing to stay engaged in that way. So when we're turning out, something is a big deal. Like on Thursday this week, I'll be missing bedtime for my 17-month-old daughter, you know, throwing my husband to the wolves to get her to bed. That's a big deal. I don't go anywhere. So, you know, if I'm turning out for council and you see lots of young people there and young families, and we even had a community mom, she came in wearing her newborn, you know, in a baby carrier. That should tell you something about who this issue affects.
About how many people show up at the commission meetings?
A couple of the major meetings, we had 35, 40 speakers. It's been less and less since then because the city hasn't really done a very good job of accommodating us in a space that we need. And I think people are starting to get discouraged. Basically, if you're going to be stuck in the overflow room downstairs with no video, you might as well just stay home and watch it on your TV. And I understand that. With that said, the city has refused our request to move to a larger venue. So consistently, I've seen the chambers full, which holds about 40, and then anywhere from 20 to 40 commenters, depending on the topic. But it's been really hard to get people to want to come just to sit in that overflow room and not be part of it.
You know, what I've been finding out recently is that Channel 2, WDTN in Dayton, Ohio, they've been doing things on the data centers, and then also Channel 9, I believe that's WCPO in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Okay, they're doing things on data centers. And the more that we get the media involved in it, everybody will learn from everything. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, it's like the politicians wanted to keep people like mushrooms. Keep them in the dark to grow, but just keep them in the dark and feed them pablum. It's my sense of humor now. And Quentin, you started that, okay? But that's how you grow mushrooms. You keep them in the dark and you feed them a lot of pablum. So what I think has to happen is bring it all out into the light. And that's what you're doing, Jessica. Mm-hmm. And that's the more that can be brought out in the light, the more the elected officials and even the businesses will say, hey, wait a minute, these guys are asking a lot of questions and we got to figure out how we're going to answer it. Mm-hmm. And hopefully it's very truthful and they're upfront about the whole thing.
Yeah, I think we've seen that to be the case. I will say that has also been a primary strategy of mine is public exposure and putting them in a position where we control the narrative and they have to respond. And I've achieved that by, like you said, contacting the media, every station that will listen early on, having them follow us through this, but also getting back into the meeting minutes, the videos, identifying discrepancies, you know, breakdowns in public process for how they handled this case versus others, improper advocacy by different agencies in the city, bringing all of that stuff to light. And really showing people that it's not even so much a data center issue, it's a governance issue. And that's where Q's tie-in is to this issue. And I'm sure he could speak about that all night.
Probably.
I think I have before. One of the things I like about what Jess has organized is the networking that's going around, that she's pulled people to in from other communities, particularly the tri-state. And they're looking at doing a symposium on, what is that date, March 21st, with some speakers.
Yeah, it's not a firm date yet, but yes.
Yeah, but tentatively March 21st with some speakers from different areas. But there are things like, you know, we hear the complaint, well, these people aren't city residents. They live in the county. Well, they have impacts as well. And one of the other tri-state members mentioned that they sent a letter to their county prosecutor asking them to stand up for the county residents and the impacts that the county residents will have because of the data centers. And I took that, added a little bit more to it based upon what I knew here, added in the trustees that the property was annexed from, because the annex agreement says that the city will mitigate certain things. So I took that, expanded it to say, hey, these are the impacts that are going to happen. As the county prosecutor and as township trustees, you're responsible for protecting your constituents. What are you going to do? Now, it will be a week. It's only been like 3 days since I sent it. So 3 business days. So I haven't gotten a response back yet. But we have to hold people accountable to do their jobs. And sometimes it takes some public shaming. And
one big thing around here is there's no recall provision in the city charter if a commission member, you know, doesn't exactly behave or do things properly, like sunshine law.
I have a case from before that's at the probate court. It's hung up at the appellate court right now, that you can remove officials for malfeasance, misfeasance. It's basically prepare a petition. You sign it, 4 other electors sign it. You file it in the probate court, and then the challenge becomes getting a prosecutor, which is where I'm stuck right now. But there is a way around that recall. Right now, what they're doing is just adding stuff to my case that I already have with the data center.
You're welcome.
I've been sticking it in a little electric file, so I'll remember it. But you know, some of this stuff that you see is just absolutely flagrant, and you can't believe that, you know, that they just don't follow the law, or they don't know the law, and they make an excuse, well, no one's come to me and talked to me about it. Well, what about getting off your butt? Go sit out and make yourself available to people so you can listen to them and hear them. You know, go over to the local coffee shop. Tell them you're, hey, I'm going to be here at 3 o'clock. I'm going to be sitting here having a cup of coffee. If you want to come by and chat with me, hey, come by and chat with me. And there's no sort of outreach like that. Your federal congressmen do that. They hold town halls. Why can't you do that at a local level, where you actively reach out to the people that you're supposed to represent?
Well, I'll tell you what.
That was my soapbox, and that's my post on Sunday morning, by the way.
Okay. Well, advance notice. Hey, one thing that we used to do here in Pequot, and I'm not sure whether or not Wilmington does it or has done it in the past, we had a city manager that came in, and he said, we're going to have a government academy. And if you want to sit on a board or a commission, it's recommended, in quotes, that you attend this academy. And we went through everything. I still have my notes in my thick notebook. I've got a notebook that's probably 3 inches thick of everything to do with the city. And we went from the finance department to the police department to the fire department to the sewage department. And we spent time learning about each section of the city, how it functions. everybody's duties and how everything functions. Everything was great until we had to take the tour of the sewage plant. It was interesting, but it was something you don't want to hang around, you know? And people that have raised animals on a farm would know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of it flowing, okay? But I do have a sense of humor, Jess. I'm sorry. But we learned about government, and not all cities do that, but that's what he did when he was in Indiana. And he had Fishers, Indiana. And Fishers was basically a small town of 17,000, and now it's almost 100,000. And it's a big place. It's north of Indianapolis, and it has really seen a lot of growth. And he's since retired. Well, the new guy coming in did not resurrect or continue the government academy. And I think that ought to be a prerequisite for anybody that wants to be a commissioner, whether it's a county commissioner, learning about the county, or whether they're in city government. You have to go through a government academy to know what's going on.
One of my early public record requests something I stumbled across is elected officials are supposed to take sunshine law training and get a certificate issued. And I asked for that, probably about this time last year. And there were only out of all of the elected officials I asked for the training, I think there's, let me count them, one, you know, up the 8 council members, who includes the president, the mayor, and so let's say 12 people, only 2 of them had actually taken it.
Oh my goodness. Well,
that makes more sense. That explains a lot, doesn't it, Jeff?
Yeah.
and wait, they can ask someone to take the training for them.
Can I have somebody take my exams for me? Is that kind of the same idea there?
Seriously, they can ask that a staff member take the sunshine law training for them.
How about ethics training?
That's an issue we're coming across as well. I used to be a fraud examiner, so it's something I'm really conscious of because I investigated people who had ethical issues, and they just don't seem to have a base understanding. It's not just, do you have a conflict? Is there an appearance of conflict? And that's, you know, neither of those are illegal. What's illegal is then when you act and you have that conflict. And I don't even know what to say about that.
When I worked with the state, I was in Columbus at our main office. And the first thing we did, and I handled training for our division and new development for business. And I had to take ethics training. That was the first thing they did. They put you in a room with probably 40 or 50 other people, and you had ethics training. And it was drilled in your head. The next thing that you had was sunshine law and everything you had to do with sunshine law. And that was drilled into your head. So now you have 2 holes in your head, right? Among the others that you were born with. And they constantly said, okay, now this is how it's supposed to be. And yet you had people that were, let's see, what do I want to call them? Board members, commissioners, that didn't believe that they had to adhere to certain rules. And they got caught violating them, and it caused a big upheaval within the commission. But those were the 2 things, sunshine law and ethics. And that was drilled into everybody's head. Now, I would hope that the commissioners would be able to take that and show proof of it and not have somebody else take the test for them?
Well, the second time I sent the request in, I got a whole lot more certificates of completion.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
You know, some of them were dated the day of the request, so, but they took it.
Or somebody took it.
No, they took it because the council clerk said she wasn't going to do it for them.
It's very easy to do.
It is.
Not clerk, but I mean for people that have to take that training.
I am actually probably a little bit weird in this aspect, is I actually downloaded a copy of the Sunshine Law manual and read it. It's just one of those things that I do.
It's called government paperwork.
Well, no, I did that as a private citizen last.
Oh, yeah, I know. But
year before last.
When you're working for the state, that's a lot of paper.
Well, and that raises the question, too, of why we have to spoon feed them this information. That's what I would like to know. Why did I have to become an overnight expert on all things data center and community organizing and everything else? Because the people in power didn't have the time. Like, I've got other things to do. You know, I'm not getting paid.
That's right. But it's important that we did get involved, because if we didn't get involved, then this wouldn't come to light. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you find out a lot about the possibility of water pollution or groundwater pollution versus surface water pollution, putting the effluent back into the rivers. You're talking about possible air pollution. You're talking about electromagnetic frequency problems, noise problems. And nobody really brought that out when the data centers were talked about. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem.
Jess did some really amazing base level research when she first spun up her group, you know, and contacted some organizations that helped her. You wanted like the, what is the CEDS and
yep,
a good job first.
So the first day I contacted Molly to help me make a page, and the second day I contacted the Community and Environmental Defense Service, or SEDS is what I call them. And they're not specialists in data centers, but they offer expertise with communities trying to resist poor development proposals, basically, that are going to negatively impact an area. And so it's really been a learning process for both of us, myself and Richard, who runs that organization. In discovering everything that there is to know about data centers and getting that information out to not only our community, but to others as well. But yeah, he's been instrumental in helping me to do that baseline research.
There's a lot of research that you've done that's been fantastic. And the people helping you along the way, I'll tell you what. Mm-hmm. 'Cause some of the stuff that I'm seeing and some of the things that Quentin has published online, those are eye openers. Okay. And I wish that the people up here would have known in advance all this information that's out there. And so hopefully they're following us along and they're listening to the show or watching the show.
One of the things I had done early on, with my background as an elected official out in California, we were the fastest growing city in California during the 1990s. So I did a lot of land use decisions, was involved with a lot of environmental work, sewer plants, landfills, garbage trucks. You know, we were a full service city with everything except for a fire department. And so I approached this from a land use basis because that was what my background was and was familiar with the environmental law. But one of the things I did, like, one of the first couple of days is I put together a list of 50 questions that need to be asked about, you know, in this case, it was a data center, but it would have been for any large project. And I sent that out to the council members. I know they used it. The Port Authority used it. Doesn't mean they were candid with the work that they did, but it ended up being a resource. So my approach was, like with the SEDS, was, hey, this is a land use project. Let's approach it like that. And then Fortunately, Jess identified a whole bunch of environmental issues that I did not know about, like the sea wave sounds.
Oh, that, DBC and DBZ.
Yeah, DBC.
Noise.
Yeah, the low volume noise and how far they travel. Those are things I had absolutely no idea about, and it's been really helpful, you know, for me, the research that she's done on that. Now, I did want to touch on one other thing, was talking about the behind the meters, and this is an issue that came up in Hilliard with their fuel cell. And I went up there one day last week and met with some of the people up there and talking about it some. And this is an issue that came out of left field for their council, where the operator, I think it was AWS in this instance, was asking to put a fuel cell on site, and the city wasn't being as cooperative as AWS wanted. So AWS backdoored them. They went directly to the PUCO and the OPSD, and that's Ohio Power Siting Board. Mm-hmm. And they can approve it. So, and if a data center uses more than 50 megawatts, in essence, what any city has done, they've also approved a power plant. Mm-hmm. That is, and there are only maybe two options to prevent that from happening. One is you don't approve any data center that uses more than 49 megawatts, so the state doesn't have authority, or you don't approve a data center. That's the only options. And it really takes a lot of local control out of that. And so the other day I was going around pulling up pipelines. There's a national pipeline service that will show you which gas pipelines are in your area, and looking at that and looking at where they were sited. And they were actually up at the north part of the county from us, pretty good ways, probably 7 or 8 miles away from the data center site where they actually crossed the road. I went up there and checked where they crossed the road. And then also they had a trunk line coming into Wilmington in the north part of town. And I was like, oh, it's over here. We're good 4 miles away. And then as I was driving around, I saw them installing about a 12 or 16 inch gas pipeline headed towards the data center. Now, I can't say 100% it's going to go to the data center, but it's headed in that direction, and it would carry enough natural gas to fuel a 100 to 200 megawatt power plant.
And then what's that going to do to the people living around it besides noise?
Well, it would be over where in Jess's community. Mm-hmm. Jess's backyard, her back door is 50 foot from the property line where the data center is going to go. And she hasn't talked about that. And then.
Well, and that's our main gripe, really. You touched on this, Q, but it is a land use issue that we believe that they've approved incompatible uses. Not only incompatible, but just blatantly false, calling this a light industrial, you know, now we're looking at two hyperscale data centers right next to residential neighborhoods. I mean, we've got three neighborhoods right here that back up to this thing. And the emissions from the data center, like, that's its own issue. But then when you talk about the potential for behind the meter power in the future and the proximity to these neighborhoods and the elementary school and the preschool here, that's really what has people up in arms about them calling this light industrial and citing it where they have. But from the closest building.
I went and remeasured that distance from the edge of the school ground to where the first building would be, you know, 200 foot in from the property line. Mm-hmm. It was 0.3 miles. Then there. So those DBCs travel a half mile or further, the sound does. So you're talking about a sound that you can feel, feel in your body. It.
What is this? What was the CDC
or DBC? You know, DBC.
What is a DBC?
It's decibel. Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. Well, I was just gonna say, so there are different weights to decibels. You got DBA. That's what most people think of when they think of noise. It's noise that the human ear can hear. DBC captures more of mid-range frequencies, which includes audible noise, but also delves into noise that is, I don't know, I guess sub-audible, but you can still feel it, like vibration type noise. And then there's also DBZ, which captures like the full spectrum of noise, and you can actually profile where a sound is coming from based on that, and then octave band limits. I don't fully understand all of that, but basically the DBC and DBZ capture that lower frequency noise that is so pervasive. It travels farther, it's harder to mitigate, and it goes through buildings.
Well, I'll tell you what, one time I was on vacation, I was headed down to Florida, and I was stopped in Troy, Alabama. And the motel where I was at was within a mile of a lead manufacturing plant. And they had these big presses that would pound all night long. And I couldn't figure out where the vibration was coming from. I didn't know that they were doing that a mile away. Mm-hmm. And the vibration kept me awake. And then I had to drive to Florida the next day. And it was like, gee, I didn't get any sleep. What caused it? And I was talking to the person at the Holiday Inn where I stayed. It wasn't an express or anything like that, because I'm not a brain surgeon. And if you've heard that commercial.
So, you know, you have those sounds, and we've talked a little bit about fuel cells going in. Mm-hmm. The Hilliard people are talking about 1 million pounds of CO2. Being generated every day up there in what is a little bit of a basin. So it's not going to dissipate real easily. The other thing that we haven't touched on yet are SMRs, small modular reactors. They're nuclear. And, you know, once you cross that 50 megawatt threshold, you could end up with that there. Now, they do have to go through some federal siting requirements, but once again, the city, local municipality has lost any authority over whether that gets cited. And there is a company, NuScale, who has commercial SMRs that have been approved.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was reading something about they were taking the old reactors from a nuclear submarine and doing something with them to create these little things. And I'm thinking, I don't think I want to be around them.
Yeah, we had one of our council members tell us that they were going to be putting those nuclear reactors in Wilmington. Mm-hmm. He also told us that CO2 is good for us and would not kill us.
Well, so to me, that was an admission that they are planning behind the meter power. That's how I interpreted that.
Yeah, I did as well. That's why I hopped on that topic. Mm-hmm. So quickly.
It's really just what's their source going to be. I think it's probably going to be fuel cells as an intermediate, and that's why they're putting in the infrastructure now for the natural gas pipelines. And then when they could produce those small modular reactors at scale, they'll probably move to that.
And here they were talking about diesel.
Well, that's what that you've got that too for backup power. So yeah. You just got the whole spectrum.
252 at the first data center site, 252 diesel generators, and those are typically 2.75 to 3 megawatts. Mm-hmm. And you have to have a lot of fuel on site.
I can imagine, and I know you did the calculations on what type of fuel you would need, and comparing that to the size of a house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It was awesome.
Yeah, that brings up another excellent point. Wasn't there, did you hear, Q, there was a tanker fire at a gas station in town today?
No, I had not. I'll have to go out. What do you, did it?
I don't know all the details. I was just thinking about that, but maybe you could talk about some of the concerns of storing that amount of fuel so close to neighborhoods since it's timely.
I've worked for Chevron for 20 years. Now, I was not an engineer. I worked as an operations auditor. So that meant I was at refineries, at chemical plants, out in the oil field, climbing up on top of stock tanks. So I've had a lot of that safety training required, how to pull orifice plates and check them, how to calibrate meters and all that sort of thing. In addition to that, my dad worked for the Williams Company at one of their transcontinental pipelines. We lived like 300 feet from the compressor station. You talk about vibrations. We had toothpicks in the windows to keep them from rattling. And I'm not afraid of it, but I respect it. And natural gas is scary if you have an issue with it. Even diesel fuel, if it's mishandled, you know, you think of it as being a liquid. Yeah, it's a liquid, but that liquid gives off vapor. And that's what you have risk of igniting. And once you have that vapor ignite, now you have the fire risk and all of that. It's fortunately not as volatile as gasoline, but that's not to say that it wouldn't burn.
It burns. We are running out of time. Wow. This
it always happens.
So quickly. It always happens, Quentin. It always happens. Jessica, thanks for being on the show. I really appreciate it. Good luck with everything going with your groups. Okay. Keep us informed and let us know how everything's progressing in Wilmington, because I'll tell you what, Pickling and Sydney can use the data. Okay. Mm-hmm. Quentin, we'll be talking again. Okay.
All right.
With that, guys, we have to bail out of here. Have a good week. We'll see you on Money and Change Sunday at 8 p.m. or 7 p.m. because we're done at 8 p.m. Anyhow, you see you on Sunday at 7 p.m. And next Wednesday, we'll be here live right here on WTRM, better known as trimradio.com. With that, have a good week. Thanks, guys. See you.